am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As we conclude our sermon series on living a life of worship, today we look at living a generous life, a life of generosity and a life fully lived. We most fully live this when we are connected to Christ, who is the good shepherd. The good shepherd who models for us what true love looks like. Now, we can be generous separate from Jesus, but I tend to think that generosity comes with strings attached, right? We have ideas that if we're going to be generous to someone, we get something in return. Jesus asks us to do it in a whole new way, to be generous out of love, not expecting something in return. That generosity out of pure love that Christ illustrates, as he lived and loved so fully. So our scripture for today describes Christ as the good shepherd. Now the hearers of John's gospel would have immediately thought back to Ezekiel chapter 34. I think I marked it in my Bible. Yes, I did. So here God is describing the good shepherd and the bad shepherd. So all throughout scripture we see God's promise that he will send the good shepherd who will be different from the shepherd like the people know. For you, shepherds of Israel, have been feeding yourselves. This is what God is calling out. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? Instead, these shepherds are more worried about themselves than about the sheep. But instead, God promises, I will send the good shepherd. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. They shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on the rich pastures. I will make them to lie down. They will be freed from the threats of the world because the good shepherd will be there. So Jesus is fulfilling this promise made in Ezekiel that the good shepherd has indeed come. The one who is willing to lay down his life, who truly protects the sheep and is looking out for the sheep, not just feeding himself as what the bad shepherds were doing. So John 10 shows us four ways to live a life fully lived in conjunction with the good shepherd. The good shepherd models it for us, and we try to do what the good shepherd does. So first, a life fully lived stays engaged. And to be fair, this week, I feel like there are times in which we must take a break. I read a wonderful article in the Washington Post yesterday that talked about our hearts are not meant to take all of this. It has been constant bad news. And so there are times in which we are called to put away our phones or whatever it is, wherever you get your news, and take a break. So that's different from totally disengaging. Let me be clear about that. But we are to stay engaged. We are to keep our hearts centered on God. We might be tempted to run away, like the hired hand, in the scripture for today, with all of the hard news in the world. But the shepherd shows that Jesus stays engaged. Of course, sometimes God calls us to leave a situation, an unhealthy situation, an abusive situation. We are called to step away. We're still engaged, just in a whole safer way. So I feel like especially this week, we figure out those ways to stay engaged while also taking care of ourselves. Because this is a heavy world, and this week has been particularly heavy. So how do we stay engaged while also caring for ourselves? Something Jesus modeled so often. Often after he fed a lot of people, he went off to a mountain by himself. There were always more people to be healed and fed, but he had to take a moment to go be with God to then come back down and continue to engage. Two, a life fully lived cares. Christ says that he puts the sheep before himself and he knows his own sheep. Now, our capacity to hold everything is limited, is it not? But yet Christ is able to hold everything, and we trust that Christ is able to do that, and especially today. We might forget about tragedies that happened, 2 weeks ago because we can only hold so much, yet Christ holds all of those names, all of those people dear because Christ is the good shepherd who cares. And we trust and know that Christ, in fact, does that. And we care, and we sometimes have to care on the local level where we can make a difference. We care by continuing to hug our children and showing up to church and hugging others. We care by being kind people to our coworkers. We care by being that smiling face to a cashier. I don't know if you all feel this way, but I feel like everyone in the service industry is just under a lot of pressure and often take the brunt of every criticism. And so sometimes us caring is just being kind as Christ would be to someone in the grocery store, at McDonald's, wherever we are. Just being kind goes such a long way and shows that we care and we are making a difference right here and right now. Christ tells his disciples, "The world will know that you are my followers if you love one another." That's what God and Christ are asking of us. To love one another, to care. And that is so powerful on the local level. How many of you have ever been on a mission trip? Like gone somewhere? Okay, oh yay. So mission trips, I feel like, are a concentrated, life fully lived experience. So I think I was going into seventh grade, the first mission trip that I took with my church as a youth. We went to Mountaintop, Tennessee. It was a long drive. That's all I remember from Richmond. It was a very long drive, but it was amazing. I had never been so tired in my life, but I learned that you could learn to love the people you were working with and the homeowners for the homes that you were working on immensely in just a few hours. You learn that your heart is capable of doing so much and caring so deeply. I learned that there are not easy answers to poverty. You know, maybe I went in with this idea of the person that I was going to be serving would look like something, but instead we discover that there are a multitude of reasons that people are in the situations that they're in, and we are just called to love and to serve. We learn all of this, and then we learn that we often, for those of us who've been on short-term mission trips, we are often blessed, if not as much or more, than those that we are helping, as our hearts are changed, as our lives are transformed, as we come back, they called it Mountaintop because they called it a mountaintop experience. Like you've experienced this powerful experience, and then you just want to take it everywhere you go. And we're lucky because every week, except for this week, we feed our community. It's like a short-term mission trip in a day. And we come together, we are able to feed our community, we're able to deeply love in beautiful ways as we get to know the stories, as we hear from our neighbors, as we love our neighbors. Short-term mission trips are that compact concentration of a life fully lived. We discover that being made in God's image does not mean that we are focusing only on our own needs or desires. Remember, in Ezekiel, God was calling out the bad shepherds because they were more focused on their own needs instead of also being focused on the needs of others. We also experience a sense of community that is bigger than our usual small group as we begin to reach out intentionally. We also hear other stories and we begin to share our own stories. And we also begin to understand that God wants us to share, not just our cake, which is important, but God wants us to share everything. God wants us to share those vital resources. And we also begin to break through so many of the barriers that we as people have created that tell us we don't have to fully care about another. That powerful story of the Good Samaritan, was someone trying to say, give me some parameters. Who do I have to love? And Jesus broke down every barrier that the people had come up with. The Samaritans worshiped, as in their belief, a different God and in a different way, so they believed that they were different from them. But Jesus says, oh no, you are called to love even the Samaritan. Break down every barrier, everything, in order to love. So third, a life fully lived builds a bridge. As we saw in our scripture from John 10, Jesus is always keeping an eye on the sheep who are outside of the fold, the sheep who do not fully know him yet. Now, while we can't solve all the divisions and problems of the world, we can start to try, and we can build a bridge. We can build a bridge. God, who has placed on each of our hearts a specific passion, a specific thing that breaks our heart more deeply than anything else, and God wants to use that to build a bridge and to stir us to action. So this week, I invite you to pray about what is that particular passion that God has placed on your heart. How is God calling you to build a bridge around that? And maybe it's around a person. Often we are called to help bring in other sheep who do not fully know Jesus. And we do that in gentle ways. Again, a good shepherd is gentle. Gentle. And so we do that by just loving. Maybe it's a coworker who's going through a particularly hard time, and you just ask, how are you doing? And you stay and wait for the answer. Maybe it's by talking to a neighbor who you know is going through some stuff and bringing them cookies or bringing them something, just doing that extra level of caring, beginning to build that bridge so that they know that they are loved. First of all by you, but most of all by God. I have some really good news. We don't save people. Jesus is the only one who saves people. And so we are just trying to help Jesus bring people in and help them to discover the amazing love of God. And then fourth, a life fully lived gives hope. And goodness, if we don't need hope today, I don't know when we need hope. We definitely need hope today. Despair surrounds us, especially this week. We can decide to stay in this place of despair or remain with our eyes to all that's happened and put our eyes to hope. Where is it that we see the kingdom of God breaking through? We are promised that when God's kingdom is fully here, there'll be no more death, no more destruction, no more pain, no more suffering. All will be made right. And we're told that God's kingdom is breaking in all around us. Where are those small places and where you see it? I see it every Wednesday. I see it every Sunday, too, with you all. Here we are, people who vote differently in November, or whenever our elections are, or in June. Yet we deeply love one another. We come together when someone is sick. We pray for one another deeply. We are the kingdom in a powerful, powerful way. How is it that we can give hope? A life of worship is a full-time gig, not just when we want to, right? We are called to love even on those days when we're tired and cranky. We are still called to love our neighbors. I know I confess this to you all a lot. I am called to love my neighbors on 264. Even when they make silly mistakes, I am still called to love them. And so how do we love even those people? My dad says it, push all your buttons like a sibling, right? Knows exactly what buttons to push to rile you up. How do we still love those people? So we have choices. Do we choose to invest in the perishable pleasures of this world? Or do we join God in kingdom work? Do we join God in building relationships, relationships that last, first of all, our relationship with God, but also our relationship with one another? Do we hoard the blessings that we have received, or do we share them? And do we spread hope by helping others? Again, Christ made it clear, you will be known if you are my follower or not, if you love one another. We are called to love one another. Now, it isn't easy to live a life of worship. It will require some sacrifice. Sacrifice of time, sacrifice of our gifts, our resources. And as all of us know who do have siblings, love is not always easy. Yet, it's what God calls us to do, to love. But when we follow the Good Shepherd and live our lives as he did, I promise the reward is tremendous. So may we all embrace a life fully lived. Will you all please pray with me? God, we need help. You have sent us Jesus, who is the Good Shepherd, who models for us, who illustrated through his life how to fully love, how to fully engage while still being connected to you, how to build bridges, how to provide hope. God, help us. Especially this week, we need you to break into our hearts and break into our lives in new and powerful ways. God, help us. We desire to live a life fully lived, a very generous life, and we can only do that with your help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.